This is an Alert USA Threat Journal National Situation Update for the week ending Saturday, November 1st, 2014. This week in security news, on multiple occasions this week, Alert USA subscribers were notified via text messages to their mobile devices regarding the latest developments with the spread of the Ebola virus, as well as federal and state efforts to respond to the threat. On Monday, Alert USA subscribers were some of the first in the nation to learn that the Department of Defense had quarantined 11 U.S. soldiers and a two-star general following a deployment to the West African Ebola hot zone. The soldiers were some of the first sent to the region and had traveled widely around Liberia, laying groundwork for additional force deployments. The quarantine location is a U.S. Army garrison in Vicenza, Italy, located approximately 40 miles west of Venice. The soldiers will be monitored for 21 days at an isolated location on the base. By Wednesday of next week, another 35 soldiers will join the original 11. The decision to quarantine American soldiers at the base has sparked outrage in Italy, with increasing calls for the government to demand the U.S. move the soldiers back to U.S. soil. On Thursday of this week, Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel announced a command decision that all U.S. military personnel serving in Ebola-affected countries, regardless of rank, will undergo 21 days of quarantine and monitoring due to their unique role, the scale of the deployment, and the need to protect other soldiers and their families from possible infection. He called the move smart, wise, prudent, disciplined, and science-oriented. So as to highlight the ongoing chaotic, disconnected response to Ebola at the federal level, contrast the strength of the Pentagon's quarantine model for soldiers who are not even working with Ebola victims with the lukewarm, politically motivated CDC guidelines calling for voluntary isolation of healthcare workers who are in fact providing direct care for infected individuals. Alert USA reminds listeners of New York Governor Cuomo's comment from last week regarding mandatory quarantine, wherein he stated, quote, "It's too serious a situation to leave it to the honor system of compliance." His words were driven home this week when it was revealed that New York City's first Ebola patient, Dr. Craig Spencer, initially lied to authorities about his travels around the city following his return to the U.S. from treating Ebola patients in Guinea. According to the New York Post, law enforcement sources indicate Dr. Spencer at first told officials that he had isolated himself in his Harlem apartment upon his return. Detectives then reviewed his credit card statement and MetroCard and discovered that he had in fact traveled all over the city. Then we have Nurse Casey Hickox, who has gained significant notoriety this week by whining to the national media about being quarantined when she landed in New Jersey with a fever. After a few days, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie effectively deported her to Maine, where she was ordered by the state's health authorities to self-quarantine in her home, an order she ignored until Friday when a Maine court ordered significant restrictions. While Nurse Hickox initially claimed that she worked for Doctors Without Borders, it turns out that she is in fact an Epidemic Intelligence Service officer for the CDC. Additionally, while Nurse Hickox, President Obama, the ACLU, the CDC, and even the United Nations Secretary General slam such highly restrictive quarantine rules, the science clearly supports the move. Recent research published just last month in a peer-reviewed New England Journal of Medicine states that 13% of the 4,000 Ebola cases studied in this outbreak did not have fevers. Again, 13 out of every 100 confirmed or suspected Ebola cases studied in the current outbreak did not have a fever. This week, the strategy of mandatory quarantine received strong backing by Nobel Prize-winning doctor and medical researcher Bruce Buettler, who won the prize in 2011 for his studies on the human immune system. In an interview with New Jersey Advanced Media, Buettler said that he favored such quarantines because, quote, "it's not entirely clear that they can't transmit the virus, and there are conditions within which they may actually be infectious before they have a fever." In terms of other countries' response to the Ebola threat, this week Australia joined the growing ranks of nations closing the door to people seeking entry from Ebola-affected West African countries, implementing an across-the-board halt to processing visa applications for countries including Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Guinea. The Australian government has also canceled and is refusing non-permanent or temporary visas held by people from Ebola-affected countries who have yet to leave for Australia. Further, permanent visa holders from these countries are being required to submit to a 21-day quarantine period prior to departure for Australia. In related news, in a stunning about-face, this week the CDC made the tacit admission that Ebola can in fact be transmitted by droplets and aerosols released in sneezes. The admission came in the form of a new information poster and fact sheet explaining how Ebola can be spread. Oddly, within days of the poster and fact sheet appearing, which were then highlighted in news articles, they were quickly removed from the CDC website. It was also reported this week that the State Department has quietly been making plans to bring Ebola-infected doctors and medical aides to the U.S. for treatment. This, according to a State Department document leaked to the Washington Times. The document is reported to have already been shared with Congress and even includes details on the expected price per patient, with transportation costs at $200,000 and treatment at $300,000. Once the story broke, the State Department spin machine went into action saying that the plan had already been shelved. When you add these various points to the overall manner in which the federal government has handled the threat posed by Ebola, including no effort whatsoever to seal the southern border, to the irrational decision of not banning travel from Ebola-affected nations, to woefully inadequate guidance for and preparation of our nation's healthcare system, it should be clear that the federal domestic response is being poorly managed and increasingly looks to be based on professional arrogance, hubris, and political correctness, as opposed to the safety and welfare of the American public. As of October 27th, the World Health Organization reports that there have been more than 13,700 Ebola cases with just under 5,000 deaths. This is an increase of more than 3,000 cases in less than a week. And these are just the reported numbers. The World Health Organization readily admits that the actual numbers are much, much higher. In addition, a total of 521 healthcare workers are known to have been infected, with more than half resulting in death. And since they are in the news, it is worth mentioning that this week alone, the New York Health Department reports that they are monitoring 117 people for Ebola in just the five boroughs of New York City. The New Jersey Health Department reports monitoring approximately 100 individuals, and Pennsylvania reports 105. As Alert USA has previously warned on multiple occasions, given that standard flu symptoms such as fever, vomiting, sore throat, coughs, muscle aches, fatigue, and headaches are also early symptoms of an Ebola infection, you may be in for a rude awakening if you have to approach a medical facility this winter. On one hand, there will be the regular seasonal surge of those suffering from influenza seeking treatment. On the other hand, given that Ebola is one of the most dangerous pathogens known to exist and the stark similarities and early symptoms to the flu, medical facilities may be forced to take drastic measures with each and every patient, including possible isolation and quarantine until a laboratory confirms the diagnosis. There are few other options. With this perfect storm of confusion right around the corner, Alert USA recommends that listeners do what they can to boost their immune system, including consideration of both a seasonal influenza and pneumonia vaccine. While this will in no way offer protection from a possible Ebola infection, it will increase your chances of not having to approach a medical center in the first place. You can find much more on this story, including links to the high points made in this report, links and citations to scientific literature referenced, and links to specific preparedness guidance and resources in this week's issue of the Threat Journal newsletter. As always, Alert USA continues to closely monitor developments with the spread of this virus and will immediately notify service subscribers of major changes in its spread to different regions, important notices and warnings by government agencies, or any other major change in the overall threat environment as events warrant. In terrorism news, on Tuesday of this week, Alert USA subscribers were notified via text messages to their mobile devices that Secretary of Homeland Security Jay Johnson announced increased security at U.S. government facilities and other sensitive locations nationwide due to an increasing domestic terrorism threat. Officials cite the recent Islamist attack on the Canadian Parliament, as well as attacks on law enforcement in multiple locations across the U.S., as well as threats from terrorist groups to attack the homeland. According to Secretary Johnson, given world events, prudence dictates a heightened vigilance in the protection of U.S. government installations and our personnel. Also this week, the Pentagon warned armed services personnel and other employees that Islamic State-linked terrorists want to attack employees and is urging them to change routines and mask their identities. According to a memo issued by the Pentagon Force Protection Agency, quote, recent threats revealed through various intelligence and law enforcement sources indicate that terrorists, directed or inspired by the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, view U.S. military members and law enforcement officers as legitimate targets. Attacks would most likely involve edged weapons, small arms, or improvised explosive devices, and could be perpetrated with little or no advanced warning. In light of these threats and recent attacks in the United Kingdom, France, and Canada, remaining vigilant is paramount. As has been the case for over 12 years, Alert USA continues to closely monitor the overall domestic terrorism threat environment and will immediately notify service subscribers of new alerts, warnings, and advisories, or any developments which signal a change in the overall threat picture as events warrant. In travel security news, in addition to a new U.S. government-issued worldwide caution, the U.S. State Department this week issued updated travel warnings for Sudan and Burundi, bringing to 40 the number of locations around the world specifically identified as posing significant risks for U.S. citizens. If you are planning travel abroad this coming holiday season, even to such common locations as the Caribbean, Mexico, or Europe, now more than ever, be smart about it and regularly check the U.S. State Department's travel website where information can be found about the security situation at your destination. This has been an Alert USA Threat Journal National Situation Update for the week ending Saturday, November 1st, 2014.